Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. If you have your Bibles, turn at this time to the book of Judges, chapter 7, and we'll continue with this story about Gideon in just a moment. I'm going to read to you some introductory comments from Elam's notes, or some comments on the text, and then we'll go ahead between the text and Elam's notes and finish the story of Gideon. And from then, I think I'm going to go ahead and read some of the stories of the other judges that we find in this book. Now, while you're turning in your Bible to Judges chapter 7, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and our teacher is E.A. Elam, coming to us by way of Sunday school lessons he wrote almost 100 years ago. And I have a complete set of those Sunday school lessons. This Sunday school lesson on the period of Judges and of Gideon in particular was written for the Sunday schools of February 24th, 1924. And so take your seats, turn up your radio, open your Bible to Judges chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in just a moment from chapter 9. But let me read to you Elam's notes first on what we have already read in this Bible school. You see, the Midianites had taken over Israel and oppressed them, and there was a great host of them. And Gideon was called to go up and lead the charge against the Midianites and drive them out of the land. When he blew the trumpet and set forth the call, many, many came unto Gideon. But God said, "It is too many. Let those that will go home." And after they went home, there were still too many. And God had them go down to a stream and drink the water. And those who got down on their knees and lapped the water like a dog were said, "You can go home." But those who stood by the stream and brought their water up to their mouth in their hand and drank like a man, God said, "You may stay and fight with Gideon." And so many were sent home that there were only 300 men to lead the charge against the mighty host of Midian. Listen to Elam as he describes this in his notes. This was a victory gained by faith, as the walls of Jericho fell down, and not one of physical might, and was designed to teach the people to trust in God and cleave to Him. Therefore, Jehovah wanted to make all realize this. And so he said to Gideon, "The people are too many, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, 'Mine own hand has saved me.'" God says he drove out the nations and gave the land to Israel, not because of the righteousness of Israel, but because of the wickedness of the nations of the land. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, "Speak not thou in thy heart, after that Jehovah thy God hath thrust them out from before thee, saying, 'For my righteousness Jehovah hath brought me in to possess this land, whereas for the wickedness of these nations Jehovah doth drive them out from before thee.' Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thy heart, dost thou go in to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations Jehovah thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may establish the word which Jehovah spake unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." God made the proposition for the fearful and the trembling to return. This resulted in the departure of 22,000, leaving only 10,000. Over two-thirds of this army were cowards. This was in accordance with God's direction through Moses that the fearful and faint-hearted return, lest they cause others to fear and tremble. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 20, and in verse 8, the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that feareth and is faint-hearted? Let him go return to his house, lest his brethren's heart melt as his heart. Even today, one coward will make others, while a brave, true man will encourage others. Many who profess to be in the church today as soldiers of the cross are fearful and faint-hearted. They lack confidence in God's means and ways. Some do not hesitate to say God's way is a failure. The church would be much better off if all the worldly-minded, pleasure-loving, cowardly members would go back or repent and be faithful. After the departure of the 22,000, God said, The people are yet too many. God tried them, nor separated them, and all who lapped the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, putting their hand to their mouth, thus taking up water with the hand as a dog does with his tongue, they were set by themselves, and all who knelt and drank were set by themselves. There were only 300 of the former, and 9,700 of the latter. Some try to find a reason why God gave this test, and God does not give the reason why he used this way of separating them. By the 300, God said, He would save Israel. The 300 took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and the rest went every man to his tent, and they would be needed later on. Now let's read how the 300 achieved the victory, and this is found in Judges chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 19 through, it said 15, but that's not right, 19 through 25. No, excuse me for my confusion. This is Judges chapter 7, verses 9 through 15. Judges 7, 9 through 15. And it came to pass the same night that Jehovah said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the camp, for I have delivered it in thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the camp, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward thy hand shall be strengthened to go down into the camp. Then went down he down with Purah his servant into the outermost part of the armed men that were in the camp, and the Midianites, and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along the valley like locusts for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand of the sea which is on the seashore for the multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man telling a dream unto his fellow. And he said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and came into the tent, and smote it so that it fell and turned upside down, so that the tent lay flat. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God hath delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the camp of Israel and said, Arise, Jehovah hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Now, at that point, we're going to return to Elam's notes over that section. As stated in Judges chapter 7, 9 through 15, God encouraged Gideon by sending him down to the camp of the Midianites, that he might hear what the Midianites had to say. Read the Midianites' dream. The interpretation was of God. Gideon was the barley cake. The Midianites, Amalekites, and Ishmaelites lay along the valley like locusts for multitude, and their camels without number as sand on the seashore for the multitudes. There were at least 105,000 men that drew the sword, Judges 8 in verse 10, besides the multitude that did not. Gideon's army was now only 300 men, but into his hand God had delivered Midian and all the host. Gideon worshipped, returned to the camp of Israel, and said, "Arise, for Jehovah hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." Now let me read from Judges chapter 7, verses 16 through 21. And he, now this is Gideon, he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put into the hands of all of them trumpets and empty pitchers, with torches within the pitchers. And he said unto them, "Look on me, and do likewise, and behold, I will come down from the outermost part of the camp. It shall be that as I do so, so shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, For Jehovah and for Gideon." Judges chapter 7 and verse 19. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came to the outermost part of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, when they had put newly set their watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake in pieces the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the torches in their left hands and their trumpets in their right hands wherewith to blow. And they cried, "The sword of Jehovah and of Gideon." And they stood around every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and shouted and put them to flight. And as they blew the 300 trumpets, Jehovah sent every man's sword against his fellow and against all his host. And the host fled as far as Beth Shatta toward Zereph, and as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabbath. And the men of Israel were gathered together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all of Manasseh and pursued after Midian. Now, returning to Elam's notes, we see how Gideon gained the victory. The sword of Jehovah and of Gideon is significant. God did through the work of Gideon. Gideon and the 300 must use the means God placed in their hands. Now there's a lesson for us. See the further results of this battle in chapter 8, and that is what we will do. When the fight was over and peace was restored to the Israelites, in their gratitude they offered to make Gideon king. But it was not God's way of government, and Gideon refused. Neither would he allow his sons to be made king. Gideon was humble and true. He made a mistake in the making of the ephod, mentioned after which all Israel played the harlot, and which became a snare unto Gideon in his house, as we'll read in another class session. If we could only be content to do at all times all God commands, and no more, all would be well. Under Gideon, Israel had rest 40 years, and the Midianites lifted up their heads no more. Gideon died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash's father, and Ophrah of the Abarazites. One great lesson taught by these facts, as brought out in Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 40, is faith and trust in God. These 300 may represent the faithful few who made the sacrifice and all the work, while the multitudes who followed on when the Midianites had been put to flight may represent those who enjoy the work of faithful and self-sacrificing, who would take charge of it and control it. In our next class, I'm going to begin by reading Hebrews 11, 32 through 40, and then we're going to proceed on with the story about Gideon. And there's a little poem at the end. It says, "The Fight of Faith." workmen of God, lose not heart, but learn what God is like. I'll finish that next class.